For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The T-Biz podcast delivers T-news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that heals and energizes the body while soothes the mind. Transforming the leaf requires a fusion of artistry, craftsmanship, and commerce. The tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts a global influence, generating $260 billion in sales and employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. The U.S. tea trading partners face a single reciprocal tariff rate. Renewed airstrikes in Yemen elevate tea transit risk. And a study of 1,400 mother-child pairs found that drinking tea during pregnancy is linked to enhanced cognitive development in their children. Plus, David Veal on the future of the European Speciality Tea Association. Since it was established 6 years ago, the European Speciality Tea Association, ESTA, has implemented training programs leading to the certification of tea and coffee professionals, organized competitions to enhance the capabilities of tea baristas, and developed educational programs for consumers. The association has also organized tours to the tea lands and financed research and development to encourage innovation in tea. ESTA's outgoing executive director, David Veal, joins the Tea Biz podcast today to discuss the association's achievements, growth to 350 members, and future ambitions. David was named executive director in May 2019. Before that, he was executive director of the Specialty Coffee Association of Europe, SCAE, from 2011 to 2018, when SCAE merged with its American counterpart to become the Specialty Coffee Association. David's beverage career began in 1983 when he joined Automatic Catering Supplies as regional manager for the north of England. At ACS, he played a pivotal role introducing specialty coffee brands like Douwe Egberts to the UK market. David officially leaves the post as executive director on March 31st, but promises to, quote, hang around for a bit to help with succession and to smooth things over, end quote. But first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
On April 2nd, the U.S. will send trading partners in the tea lands a proposed tariff rate, likely leading to negotiations to arrive at a single country-specific tariff for all imports. The rate will vary widely. For some countries, the new rate will be based on a low percentage reciprocal tariff. In other instances, value-added sales tax and fees may be included when calculating the total duty. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said on March 13 that U.S. trading partners will have an opportunity to avoid country-specific tariffs by lowering their own tariffs or addressing other grievances. Bessent said, quote, what's going to happen on April 2nd is that each country will receive a number that we believe represents their tariffs. So for some countries, it could be quite low. For others, it could be quite high, end quote. President Trump has repeatedly said that tariffs should be adjusted so that, quote, What they charge us, we charge them, end quote. The exceptions are China, Canada, and Mexico, which face 10 to 25% tariffs. Reciprocal tariffs are bad news for India, which imposes 100% basic customs duty plus a 10% social welfare charge on all tea imports. India is the most highly tariffed major economy in the world. The U.S. and India are currently discussing eliminating peak tariffs of 100 to 150% on whiskey, for example. Data journalist Katerina Buchholz at market research firm Statista writes that, quote, a look at the World Trade Organization tariff chart for the country, India, reveals very high average rates for beverages and tobacco, including alcoholic beverages, oil seeds, sugars, cocoa, tea, coffee, and spices, end quote. Statista published a chart of protectionary tariffs applied to selected imports to India by most favored nations' trading partners in 2023. Beverage tariffs averaged 74.5%, while tariffs on tea, cocoa, coffee, and spices averaged 47.6%. The rate for sugar and confectionery is 51.5%, and for fruit and vegetables, 34.6%. During the Biden administration, Canadian tariffs for U.S. goods were very low, with most products entering the country duty-free under the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA. According to World Tea Data, the average tariff on all imports from the U.S. was 2.07%, while the average effective tariff on Canadian goods entering the U.S. was 2.4%. Canada, however, charges a general sales tax, a digital service tax, and provincial taxes in addition to tariffs. Kenya charges a 16% VAT plus a 3% declaration fee and a 2% railway development levy. France charges a 20% VAT. Germany charges a 19% VAT and Japan a 10% VAT. Italy imposes a 22% value-added tax, the highest in Europe. Ireland's Prime Minister Michael Martin told Reuters that the European Union will, quote, take a bit of time, end quote, to respond to the new reciprocal tariff rates. Quote, I believe the EU will adopt a strategic approach, end quote, Martin told Ireland's parliament. Ireland is among the EU countries most exposed to increased tariffs. The resumption of missile and airstrikes on Yemen-based Houthis on March 15th has presented a significant challenge to tea logistics as first flush teas are en route to market. The situation will increase delays for tea shipments from regions such as Darjeeling, impacting freshness and supply chain efficiency. The rerouting of tea from Calcutta to Amsterdam via the Cape of Good Hope adds 15 to 20 shipping days, which increases costs to between $7,000 and $9,500 per container. Fuel expenses for an extra 2 weeks at sea rise by $900,000 to $1.8 million. Depending on the vessel. The cessation of hostilities between Israel and Hamas on January 19th improved safe transit conditions, typically limited to bulk and low-value cargo. Since February, 47 ships, including six owned by the U.S. or U.K. firms, have navigated the Red Sea safely. Egyptian's president reports that monthly revenue losses have escalated to $800 million, however, contributing to a projected $7 billion decline in 2024. Due to ongoing security concerns, major shipping companies such as Maersk, MSC, and Mitsui OSK continue to avoid the route. War risk premiums have increased significantly by as much as 2% of the ship's value for transit. Several workarounds have been implemented due to delays in tea shipments from East Asia, South Asia, and Africa, following the initial missile attacks in November 2023. Air freight volumes from India to Europe have increased by 40% since February 2024, exceeding the 2019 weekly average. Rates have risen to $3.50 per kilogram for shipments greater than 1,000 kilos, a 158% increase compared to December 2023. Rail transit usage has also increased for routes from Bahrain, and Dubai via the UAE-Israel land corridor, which connects Dubai's Jebel Ali port to Israel's Haifa port through Saudi Arabia and Jordan. Dubai remains the largest tea re-exporter by volume. Growers in Africa, India, and Sri Lanka are also targeting South Asian markets, leveraging shorter and more secure shipping lanes. With the ceasefire ended, Israel has deployed ground forces into Gaza, and U.S. forces have initiated airstrikes targeting Houthi infrastructure, including launch sites and weapons storehouses. The U.S. Department of Defense has stated that operations will continue indefinitely until the threat to international shipping is neutralized. TBiz correspondent Rupak Goswami filed this report on a new study from the Chinese National Birth Cohort that suggests maternal tea consumption during pregnancy may significantly enhance children's cognitive development. The research, recently published in the peer-reviewed journal Scientific Reports, analyzed data from 1,423 mother-child pairs and found that drinking tea, especially during the second and third trimesters, was linked to improved cognitive, fine motor, and gross motor skills in children at 36 months. Reproductive-aged women habitually consume tea and coffee, thus the potential effects of their consumption on women and their children deserve attention. Researchers from Anhui Medical University and Nanjing Medical University conducted the study, which assessed children's cognitive abilities by using the Bayley scales of infant and toddler development. To understand the effects of maternal tea consumption, scientists grouped expectant mothers based on their tea drinking habits throughout pregnancy and identified distinct trajectories. Findings revealed that mothers who consistently drank tea across all three trimesters had children with the highest cognitive scores. Interestingly, those who drank tea in only the first trimester saw no comparable benefits, suggesting that the second and third trimesters are key developmental windows where maternal tea intake can positively influence fetal brain development. Despite tea and coffee containing caffeine, the study found no significant association between maternal coffee consumption and children's cognitive development. Researchers speculate that tea's additional bioactive compounds, such as polyphenols and flavonoids, may contribute to the observed benefits. These compounds are well known for their antioxidant and neuroprotective properties, potentially aiding brain development in utero. Tea, mainly green and black varieties, contains neuroprotective catechins, which have been linked to improved brain function. Some studies suggest that these compounds can reduce oxidative stress, enhance memory, and support neural connectivities, factors that may explain why tea drinking mothers had children with higher cognitive abilities. As scientific interest in maternal nutrition continues to grow, this research underscores the potential for everyday beverages to influence early childhood development in meaningful ways. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 21st March 2025. Alternative power source drives solar adoption in Assam. A reported 0.94 units of electricity is needed for every kilo of tea that's manufactured. And while most factories in Assam use coal and natural gas, the high costs and carbon dioxide emissions from their use have been a concern. The Assam Tribune this week reported that 100 factories have switched to solar power. The report quoted a study of tea estates in Assam and Bengal, where every ton of tea is said to add 3 million kilos of carbon dioxide, with per hectare emission at about 13.61 kilos. With both fuel and power being significant costs for a tea factory, solar source is very attractive. And while initial investment costs are high, the report says the return can be expected in under 4 years. The state government's integrated clean energy policy is another stimulus towards green energy adoption for Assam tea, as a huge step towards adopting renewable energy. In other news, Darjeeling First Flush, off to a tough start, made worse by the news of fire at Longview Estate in Kershong. The fire raised 120 hectares and the cause of fire is yet to be determined. It took the fire department 5 hours to contain it because of strong winds. Mercifully, no casualties have been reported and the factory also is safe. But the tea bushes have all been scorched in that area. Reporting on the fire, the Times of India said that earlier this month, management issued a no work, no pay notice after workers refused to start plucking, alleging non-payment of benefits and bonuses. This accident is yet another loss for the already struggling Darjeeling tea industry, where a reported 12 tea gardens have closed since last year. And lastly, Hyderabad city in South India saw the opening of the 9th outlet of its famous Cafe Niloufer chain. And this outlet in particular has made the news because of its sheer size, 40,000 square feet, which makes it the largest tea cafe in the country, able to accommodate 700 people. Hyderabad is famous for its Irani chai culture and Cafe Niloufer has been showcasing it since its beginnings in 1978. The chain was started by A. Baburao, whose son Shashank Anumula has, since taking over, expanded it into a more modern enterprise.
And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
Since it was established 6 years ago, the European Speciality Tea Association, ESTA, has implemented training programs leading to the certification of tea and coffee professionals, organized competitions to enhance the capabilities of tea baristas, and developed educational programs for consumers. The association has also organized tours to the tea lands and financed research and development to encourage innovation in tea. ESTA's outgoing executive director, David Veal, joins the Tea Biz podcast today to discuss the association's achievements, growth to 350 members, and future ambitions. David was named executive director in May 2019. Before that, he was executive director of the Specialty Coffee Association of Europe, SCAE, from 2011 to 2018, when SCAE merged with its American counterpart to become the Specialty Coffee Association. David's beverage career began in 1983 when he joined Automatic Catering Supplies as regional manager for the north of England. At ACS, he played a pivotal role introducing specialty coffee brands like Douwe Egberts to the UK market. David officially leaves the post as executive director on March 31st, but promises to, quote, hang around for a bit to help with succession and to smooth things over, end quote. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you for the opportunity, Dan.
So let's begin the conversation by simply asking, since its inception, what, in your view, is the association's most significant contribution to tea?
Really good question. You know, part of our mission statement is to create excellence within the specialty tea community. And I believe that we've helped to build that tea community. Still a long way to go, but I think we've made a good start. So we have members in over 55 countries now. From all parts of the tea value chain, from grower through to consumer and all the parts in the middle. And we are bringing people together through education, through, you know, some of the webinars that we do, through the events that we do where we get people together, and also just through networking and just bringing people together who have a common view of, you know, the tea industry and where it could go and what the benefits are. That can sound a little bit sort of, you know, grey around the edges, really. It's not totally precise. Because it's difficult to actually define. But, yeah, just bringing people together and learning from each other, teaching each other, and just improving the whole, you know, the whole outlook on tea and the quality of the product. And, yeah, that probably sums it up.
Your work has laid the groundwork for growth. As a founder, you are involved in key operations and initiating events. What projects have the potential to scale and grow?
We set our education program up 5 years ago in what turned out to be a really changing landscape for training and education, you know, starting with COVID and coming, you know, with the world coming out of COVID. All organizations who are involved in training, the type that we do, training and education, have seen that landscape change. The Specialty Coffee Association, you know, being one of the biggest organizations, have had to change their offering to, you know, take note of what's happening. We've had to do the same. So we're finding that both companies and individuals are not so keen on traveling to do their training and education. Companies are not so keen on investing in time and money for their staff. So it's become a very much more difficult market to be in. So we're in the process of trying to build on what we've done already, but also changing that to so that our education program going forward will be much, whilst we've been offering online and classroom education, it will be more focused online. It will be more focused on smaller bites of education and knowledge, more interaction, and looking at different areas, maybe, you know, business development within the tea industry, connecting with some of the research and development that we're doing as an association also. You know, while still focusing as well on the important stuff like introduction to Camellia sinensis for people who are just joining the industry, and helping especially those people to get their foot on the career ladder. But, you know, it's in a different way. And we're just, as part of our 3-year strategic plan, which we're just starting, we're just now starting to you know, change our focus.
How many folks have you certified?
It's in its thousands. But not as many thousands as we had expected when we started. In terms of our research and development, we're quite active there, really. So we had a landmark white paper on the quality of water in tea, published in collaboration with Brita Filters. We produce a paper about every 2 months on average on various aspects of tea and health, authored by Dr. Shazia Ilgaz, one of our directors from Turkey. We are working with Queen's University in Belfast in Northern Ireland on their tea authenticity program. So being able to check whether a tea is what it says it is, or an organic tea is organic, or does it really have pesticides in it, and other issues around that. And there are their initiative during the next 3 years that we're looking at as well and just starting to work on. So it's quite active.
Tell me about the webinar series. Did attendance scale up or down?
Being fairly consistent in the number of people who are getting involved. Depends to a certain extent on the subject matter and also the presenter. One of the best attendances we had at all, going back now 3 or 4 years, was by a guy called Dan Bolton. I don't know if you know him. That was a particularly well attended webinar. But we have made a major change this year. So far, all of our webinars have been free to all, and some of them still will be. But we're also now changing our tack, and some of those webinars that we're doing we will be charging for, so we'll get industry experts who we believe can make a big difference to the businesses and the lives of those people who are attending. But we'll be charging for those, although with free entry to ESTA members to encourage people to join us. So we're spreading out there. Some of those subjects will be R&D centered. Others will be business centered, and also purely tea centered as well. We'll be doing a range of webinars also directed at producers to help us bridge that gap and to help us support the producers in their quest for better quality tea and better prices for their good quality tea. So that's a very important part of what we're doing in the future.
The association supports European consumers and companies, but I also see strong digital and social media outreach. Programs have introduced tea ventures in Africa, Nepal, India, and Sri Lanka. Do you foresee greater emphasis on projecting the association's mission online?
Obviously, our membership is centered in Europe, but we have a number of members in North America, mainly US, but also Canada as well, as well as members from producing countries. We've got a lot of members in Sri Lanka now, as an example. So digital is important. We have Bernadine Tay, who most people know, is responsible for a lot of our digital work. We're also using fellow country person of yours, Mackenzie Bailey. She's a digital marketing expert in the tea industry. She's doing some work for us as well.
When you look to the future for associations, what is the most compelling reason for an organization's existence? And what are the keys to thriving and succeeding?
People tend to join associations for three reasons, or for a mix of those three reasons. One of them is to give something back to the industry from which they earn their living. A second one is to raise the profile within that industry. And a third one is to, help the business. It's all of those three are very relevant. And all of those things are done through networking. And you can have a list as long as your arm of different practical benefits to being part of an association. But undoubtedly, that networking element is the most important one. And you can never actually prescribe that. You can't dictate or guess what specific benefits a member will get from the networking part of being an association, because it's different for everybody. But what you do know is that the people who join an association and are active within that association will undoubtedly get benefits from it through the various networking opportunities that they get. If I think about Esther now, and others as well, the beginning of the the growth curve within the sector, the community, it's absolutely a thriving association is essential to help build that network and that community, as I talked about earlier on, and that's what we're finding at Esther. The other really important thing is that we as an association, and most are, we are independent, we're inclusive, we're non-for-profit, we have no agendas of our own, and people buy into that. So it just helps with our general good image, if you like.
Camaraderie and inclusiveness distinguish membership in ESTA from an NGO or corporate outreach, right?
Membership is absolutely vital to us at this point. There is debate, however, generally speaking, within the world of associations about, especially as the community becomes more mature, as to whether membership of an association, or from an association's point of view, membership is the most important thing. So you take Specialty Coffee Association as an example now, but been in existence for 30 years, the two heritage associations before they joined. The community is mature, the market is mature. And I think everybody agrees that the SCA now, more of their activity is in such things as the events that they do more and more of, other monetary activities which allow them to function. And maybe for them and for the members themselves, the actual membership isn't so important as being involved in the activities that the association are doing. And once again, I think, the changes that we all had to make during COVID have sort of accelerated that viewpoint.
I can confidently speak for the industry by praising the spade work that you have done in creating the association. I'm sure all of us are also curious about what's next for you.
Well, in terms of what's next for me, I have now been in the coffee industry for 42 years and the tea industry latterly for 6 years. I'm still active, still I'm blessed for being involved with both of those industries and get a lot out of it. So I'm already doing some small project work in tea and a little bit in coffee as well. And that's what I plan to do for the rest of the time that I'll be working. So anybody who's interested in having a little bit of experience helping them in any project work that they're involved in either tea or coffee, I'm happy to talk.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.